As I mentioned just a moment ago, we'll be in 1 Samuel chapter number 30 this evening. And if you have your Bible and maybe a piece of paper or a notebook and a pen or a pencil to write down some things I know that the Lord has for us, and something that the Lord perhaps can be an encouragement to you in your life. We'll begin in 1 Samuel chapter number 30, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed." The Bible says, "For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But..." Look at this last phrase, "but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." Let's pray together. Before we do, thank you for mentioning that in the book of James there, Brother Tim and Miss Lorna, James 1:12. What a wonderful passage of scripture as well. Let's have a word of prayer tonight and we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those that are under the sound of my voice, and those that are able to hold your word in our hands tonight and open it together and study and learn and hopefully grow together tonight. Bless your word as it goes forth. Be with the many requests. We think of our church family. We think of Brother Ford. We think of Brother Roy and Miss Judy, Miss Shirley, Brother Pete and Miss Bonnie. And the list could go on and on. Surely we could talk and pray and should pray, be faithful in praying for one another. And may we be faithful about that. You're so good to us. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight I've simply titled this first of two messages, "When Dark Days Get Darker." When dark days get darker. That sounds encouraging, doesn't it? Well, I believe we'll learn some powerful truths from David's life. And I was reading this week, and people think and feel like we're in some pretty perilous times, dark times, and I wouldn't necessarily disagree. But I was reading a story this week, and I found, if you want to know, I found the recipe to staying healthy. All right? It was a story. It was a story about a tough old cowboy who one day told his grandson if he wanted to live a long life and be immune to viruses. Here you go. Be immune to viruses. He said the secret was, this tough old cowboy telling his grandson, the secret was to sprinkle a little bit of gunpowder on his oatmeal every morning. The grandson did this religiously. And the grandson lived to be 93 years old. And when he died, the story goes, he left 14 grandchildren, 28 grandchildren, 35 great-grandchildren, and the story said when they cremated him, he blew a 15-foot hole in the wall at the crematorium. But this is the recipe to staying healthy, a little bit of gunpowder. We come across a familiar character in Scripture tonight, and even people with very little familiarity about the Bible, they know the story. They know a little bit about David. Most people know about David and Goliath. Maybe they know about Samuel going to anoint David as king. Samuel arrives and calls Jesse's sons. And when they arrive and are presented to Samuel, David wasn't there. And Samuel asks Jesse if there's any more. And was told about his other son. And so David was brought before Samuel, and the Lord tells Samuel in no uncertain terms, this is my king. And so Samuel anoints David king while Saul still sat on the throne. And God was promising David that one day he would be king, but it wouldn't happen quickly. David here, you see, Saul's the throne was in Jerusalem, and David was anointed in Bethlehem. And from Bethlehem to Jerusalem is only a few miles, a very short distance. But before David could go to Jerusalem, to the throne, God took him through a very dark experience here at Ziklag. If you were to look at a map, and I did, Ziklag is in the exact opposite direction from Jerusalem. Most of the maps that I looked at, Ziklag was on the very far edge of the map, as far as you could get away from Jerusalem. In fact, it's in the opposite direction. If you were to leave Jerusalem, Bethlehem, to go to Jerusalem, to get to Ziklag, you'd have to go the complete opposite direction. And God had David go there to Ziklag because he had a specific plan for David's life that had to take place before David could become king. It's a good reminder that God has a plan for all of us. God has a work prepared for us. And what he is doing in this moment, right now, 2020, as we're at home, as we're at quarantine, what he is doing at this moment is preparing us for his purpose and his plan. And some people have the idea that God's will is way out in the distance somewhere, and they say things like, I'll serve God one of these days, or when I'm older, or whatever the case may be, but that's not God's will. God's will is living in obedience to the Word of God, to the Lord now. You see, even when Abraham's servant, when he was looking for a bride for Isaac, he said in Genesis 24:27, I being in the way, the Lord led me. It means as he was doing what he was supposed to do, the Lord led him. But I understand we try to have everything figured out. We want our path to be laid out very clearly before us. And we would hope and pray that on our path there are no zigzags. But the Bible reminds us that God knows the way that we'll take. When we come to the story here of David at Ziklag, David was with his army of some 600 men. This was David's fighting force, fearless men who thought that they could conquer anything, that no one could defeat them. And if we read back just a little farther in chapter 29, Achish, the king of Gath, wanted David and his men to go into battle with him and against Israel. And thankfully, God intervened graciously. And the Philistine princes didn't trust having David with them. And so they sent David and his men home. And it was approximately a three-day trip, and as they approached Ziklag, David and his men were no doubt excited and excitedly talking about how good it is to be home. I always know being home just a little bit, away from home just a little bit of the time, for just a few days, it's always good to go home and to get home and to hug your wives and your wife and your children and to eat a home-cooked meal and to sleep in your own bed. But as these men arrive and as they look down upon the scene and what they expected to be peaceful domestic bliss, they were horrified to see nothing but a pile of smoldering ash. Their town was burned to the ground. Their families were nowhere in sight, and everything that they owned was gone. These warriors, these manly men, had been chased by 3,000 of King Saul's soldiers and survived. But on this day, as they came home and saw nothing but ruin, all was gone. Their families and their wives all seemed lost. The Bible says in verse 4, they were so troubled they began to weep until they had no more power to weep. These soldiers who were fierce and fearless and weren't afraid to go toe-to-toe with the most fearless foe and opponent were helpless. And then there begins a grumbling, a whispering, and that whisper became a grumble, and that grumble turned into a rumble, and finally then a roar. And someone had to be responsible for what happened. Someone had to be blamed, and so they blamed David. The Bible says in verse number 6, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. And when it didn't seem that things could get any more hopeless for David, he comes home and all is lost. It did. When it didn't seem like things could get any more helpless or hopeless or darker, it did. How does David respond? What does David teach us about when things go from bad to worse? What does he teach us about when dark days only get darker? Well, tonight I want to focus on this one phrase at the end of verse number 6, and next week we'll get into it a little bit deeper. But the first thing I believe David reminds us to do is to encourage yourself in the Lord. David, remember, we just said, was the man who was going to be king. He was the leader who would one day lead tens of thousands of people. He would eventually be spoken of as the greatest king in Israel's history. But now he's utterly alone. You see, when David's father sent him with food and supplies for his brothers when they were fighting the Philistines, when David fought Goliath, the Bible says tens of thousands of people sang his praises. Everyone knew his name, but now David is alone. He grew up in a big family, but his parents aren't here with him. His siblings aren't here. He's alone with 600 men who had pledged their lives to him, and now they want to take his. He's utterly alone. He's heartbroken. Have you ever been in that place? Have you ever felt where you were all alone? You were helpless? You begin to question where God is? Well, I must remind you this evening, child of God, that his eyes were fastened upon his servant. God knew exactly where David was. He knew what he was experiencing. What was God doing? God was bringing him, his man, his child, to the place where he had no one to turn to but God. And often, God has to do that in our life. God has to bring us to places where we stop depending upon ourselves, or our finances, or our hard work, or our effort, and bring us to a place where there's nowhere to turn but him. And so we find that David encouraged himself in the Lord. How did he do that? Standing among these ruins, how did David encourage himself in the Lord? Well, we have to understand that encouraging himself in the Lord in this type of a situation, when days are dark, this is necessary. This is necessary. The Bible, when we look at that term, encouraged himself, it simply means this. It means to fasten upon, to seize, and to be strong. It gives us the picture of someone desperately grabbing for what is most familiar, for what is closest. What a wonderful example and testimony we get from the life of David, that when all hope seemed lost, he didn't run and try and buy his way out of the situation, or work his way, or talk his way out of the situation, or trust in, or scheme, and or anything else. When things got tough, David did what was familiar, and it says he encouraged himself in the Lord. I want to look at how he did that. First, we have to understand this is necessary. And what did he do? What's necessary to encouraging himself in the Lord? Well, first thing, he looked back at God's faithfulness. He looked back at God's faithfulness. When we're discouraged, when things get tough, remind yourself of all God has done for you. God has certainly been good, amen? Hasn't God been good to you? I know he's been good to me. Remember his, think about, be reminded of his past goodness. I believe David looked back on the days that he kept his father's sheep and sang songs to God on the hillside. He reminded himself that his experiencing God's presence and God's love wasn't a dream. He knew the Lord. He knew about fellowshipping with the Lord. He knew how precious it was to fellowship with the Lord. He knew that God never changes. He knew that God was his help. He knew that his mercy endures forever. He needed to look back at God's faithfulness. He needed to look up at God's promises, remembering God's character. You know, a lot of people change their minds. A lot of people change their minds. A lot of people change their minds about as often as they change their clothing, all the time. Parents change their minds. The legal system changes their mind. Referees at a ball game can change their mind about a call. And we know this, don't we, that even the government changes its mind sometimes. Even the government can change its mind sometimes. But you know what? The Bible says God doesn't change his mind. He's the one person that we can always count on that will never, ever let us down. We can trust him no matter what else. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is sure. His promises are unshakable. David had to be reminded from, you might want to write these verses of scripture down, Psalms 32, verse 2, reminded of the fact that God forgives sins. Oh, praise God for forgiveness of sin. Aren't you thankful that God forgives sin? I'm thankful that God forgives sin. But the Bible says in Psalms chapter 6 and verse number 2 that God heals not just our body physically, but the brokenhearted. Aren't you thankful for his healing? I know that there are probably some that you know, or maybe you're one of those people, that God has healed a broken heart. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for the fact that God answers prayer. Aren't you thankful that God answers prayer? And not just one. It's not just like we only get one shot. God answers prayer over and over and over again according to his will. David also could understand and could rejoice in his presence in Psalm 16 and verse 11. David was reminded of his past victories. He was reminded of the lion and the bear and how God delivered him then and was encouraged that he would deliver him now. He remembered going out to meet Goliath with just a sling and a stone. Can you imagine it? Pictured in your head, this young boy going out to meet this fully armored warrior, and all David has is a sling and a stone, and yet David comes bounding back to the camp with that monster's head in his hands. Can you imagine? He reminded himself perhaps of his time in the court of Saul, and when that mad king sought to pin him to the wall with the javelin, but God spared him. He had to be reminded. He reminded himself to look back at God's faithfulness, to look up at God's promises, and then to look forward to who God is. God has answered prayers. Keep praying. Keep praying. Remind yourself, speak them openly, talk about, praise God for the tangible evidences of his working in your life. Talk about them. Don't just think about them. Allow them to come out of your mouth. Speak to them before your children, before your coworkers. Remember the times that God has been your help in a very present time of need again and again and again. We think about the fact of how much God has blessed us. We can't count the number of times that God has blessed us. Encouraging ourselves in the Lord is necessary. When the days get dark, when things seem tough and trials are all around us, it's necessary. It's also, this is something that must be intentional. Intentional. Everything around David was doom and gloom, and his property was either destroyed or stolen. His wives were gone. He didn't even know if he'd ever see them again, and his men were talking of killing him. But David intentionally, deliberately rejected the doom and gloom mentality of his men. Why? Because David's hope was in the Lord. We have to be reminded, though, those in the media and those in government, whoever they are, who are fear-mongering basically today, we have to understand that our hope is in the Lord. It's not in the legislature. It's not in the government. It's in our Heavenly Father. It's in his word. I challenge you to run to his word on purpose, intentional. It's necessary. It was intentional in David's life. He had to choose to go to the Word of God, deliberately, intentionally rejecting the doom and the gloom all around him. He intentionally looked beyond the smoldering ruins of Ziklag to the greatness of his God. If we're going to grow in our relationship with God, if we're going to go deeper in our love and knowledge and going to be prepared and completed for the task he has before us, it requires that our faith is grown again and again, and it may require a Ziklag in your life. And there may not be just one. There may be times God brings us to the end of ourselves and to the discovery once again that he is all we need. He's all we need. Encouraging himself, this is a word that brings strong intention. It implies persistent, continuous effort. There is nothing passive about seeking the Lord in a time of despair. There's nothing passive. It doesn't happen accidentally. It doesn't happen accidentally. I hope that's what happens when we go to the Word of God in our Bible reading. We go on purpose. When we come to church, when we can come together, we can sing together. We don't just stumble into church. We come expecting, intentionally, because it's necessary. to be together, to be around the Word of God. Encouraging yourself in the Lord doesn't happen by accident. It's necessary. It's intentional. It's on purpose. And then the third thing about encouraging himself in the Lord, we must understand it's personal. It's a personal choice. David knew God personally. Jehovah was not just the God of David's country, though David lived in the covenant nation of Israel. God was not just the God of David's mom and dad. God was David's God. David had enjoyed personal fellowship with God as he watched sheep, as he ran from Saul. David wrote and sang many psalms. For example, the 23rd Psalm. And he knew the Lord was his shepherd. He knew the Lord cared for his every need. The Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. As I thought about that, I wondered what we have the Bible. We can run to the Word of God. What Bible did David have? Well, David didn't have the Bible we have, not all of it. This happened almost 3,000 years ago. He didn't have what we have, but he knew God. He knew God. He knew the great stories of Israel's history. He knew of Adam and Eve and how there was that pivotal dark moment in human history and how God came walking in the cool of the day, searching, and said, "Where art thou?" as he searched for Adam after Adam and Eve had sinned. He knew about Noah and how he preached and stood alone for God. And he knew that God was faithful and had delivered and protected Noah. He knew the story of Abraham who left the Ur of the Chaldees and followed God and didn't know where he was going. But God led him by faith. He knew the story of Joseph, a 17-year-old boy. He knew about, listen to this, he knew how the people who loved most in the world turned on him, sold him as a slave. He knew how that Joseph was carried down to Egypt, how for more than 20 years, Joseph never saw a member of his family. He knew it was a dark day in Joseph's life when he was sold by his brothers, and that there were many dark days and weeks and months and years in Egypt. But he also knew from Joseph's example that God is faithful. David knew those things. Maybe he thought about Moses, how he lived in Egypt for 40 years and then killed the Egyptian and fled for his life, then spent another 40 years in the desert. And God spoke to Moses at the age of 80 and called him to lead the children of Israel once again out of bondage. He knew how God used Moses. He knew this. It's not what these men could do, but it was about how God was faithful to them. David knew these stories. He encouraged himself in the Lord. I think when we encourage ourselves in the Lord, it means we take God's word seriously. It means we take God's word seriously. It means we meditate on God's word. It means we hide it in our heart. It means we mull it over all day, every day. But we also encourage ourselves in the Lord. Listen to this. Let me help you here, folks. We also encourage ourselves in the Lord by remembering the landmarks in our lives. What do I mean by that? I mean times in our lives where God proved himself to us personally. Aren't you thankful for the times God has proved himself to you personally? The longer we live, the more we go through life, the more we see God proving himself again and again. And you can think back, maybe there have been times where you thought, "I just won't make it through this," but you did. You may have said to yourself, "I don't think I can live through this," but you did. Guess what? It wasn't you that picked yourself up and made something of yourself. It was not human ingenuity. It wasn't your own wit or your own plan or scheme or idea. In fact, it was exactly the opposite. You came to the place, just like David did, where you cried out to God, hopeless and helpless, unable to go on. And right there, God set up a landmark where he showed his faithfulness to you again. Can you think back to those times? Those wonderful times of sweet fellowship, of feeling hopeless and all alone, and God showing up and showing himself to be exactly who he said he was. You came to that point where you understood there was nothing you could do to change this situation. You needed God to show himself mighty, and that's exactly what he did. We learn from this account in David's life that he wasn't going to be fit to be God's king until he learned what he needed to learn at Ziklag. Think about it. When we get to the point where we think, "I'm really going through something," it's not what you're going through, it's where God is taking you. What if we thought about things that way? It's not what I'm going through, but where God is taking me. He has something special for you. He's building a man. Maybe he's building a woman. He's building a young person who will be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Don't give up. Don't give in at your Ziklag. Encourage yourself in the Lord. George Mueller said it this way: I read the Bible not for any other man on earth, but for my own heart, my own soul. He said, I do not read the Bible to teach it. I did not read the Bible to preach it. He said, I read and study the Bible for my own soul. We need that. That's how you encourage yourself in the Lord. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We learned from David tonight that you're going to have your Ziklag. What are you going to learn when you go through your Ziklag? One thing we can learn is that God is able. God is able. I'm thankful for the day that I was saved. I'm thankful for the day that I received Jesus Christ, and I'm no doubt you are. I'm thankful for the day that someone opened their Bible and showed me how that I could know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. But do you know that our relationship with God, our relationship with Jesus doesn't end there? We need to continue to learn and to know the depths of his love. It's unending. It's unfailing. We need to continue to know more and more about his forgiveness and how the Bible says it can't be measured. We need to know about how long-suffering and patient he is with us. We need to continue to learn about his gentleness and his grace. We need to know about his comforting presence. We need to know that in the depths of our soul, he will never leave us or forsake us. To understand that he is a present help in time of trouble. David encouraged himself in the Lord, and the Lord became very real to him. Do you suppose that when David and his men saw Ziklag burn, their families and possessions were gone, that they asked the question, where is God in all of this? Where was God? Had he abandoned David? Let me help you this evening. While David was at this lowest point in his entire life, God was graciously working on David's behalf. He was preparing David for his plan. God graciously used Philistine commanders to get David out of a compromising situation of not having to go to war with Israel. At that moment that David and his men were lamenting the destruction of Ziklag, God was using the Philistines to remove Saul so that David could be king. Even the loss of Ziklag was God's gracious provision because it destroyed David's roots with the Philistines and opened the way for him to begin his rule as king. And often that's what has to happen. God has to remove our links to this world so he can give us his best and so that we can give him our best. God always acts. God always responds and moves in grace towards his children. You may be at a low point. It may be dark and just seems like it's just getting darker. Like David, I challenge you to encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Ziklag is where we're reminded to encourage ourselves in the Lord. I remind you tonight, it's necessary. Don't stay in that spot without encouraging yourself in the Lord. Don't stay there. Call out to God. It's necessary. Look up at his promises. Look back at his faithfulness and look forward to what God has for you. It's necessary. It doesn't happen by accident. You need to choose to, in those moments, you need to choose to turn to the Lord to encourage yourself. It's intentional and it's personal. When you're going through a difficult time in your life, turn to the Lord. My goodness, we of all people have reason to be hopeful and have joy. My hope is in the Lord, as the song goes. My hope is in the Lord. We can have joy. We can have peace. I pray this was a blessing tonight. I'd like to just have a word of prayer before we finish up this evening.